Hey, it's Rodney with Microphones of Madness. You're probably wondering why you hear my voice instead of Steve's as the first thing on an actual play episode, and that's because I messed up the recording and didn't actually catch anything of that episode. So I had to write up a quick recap of the events of our second session of Hamlet. Steve also wanted to add in that this particular session of the Village of Hamlet, he borrowed a dungeon called Mindless Fun by Joseph R. Lewis. It's found in the Dragon Age publication 13 Weird One-Shots. And it's definitely a strange little adventure, the Cave of Echoes. And now, enjoy a campfire story from Silric the Elf. We were exhausted to the core as the sun crept above the horizon. Around us, Hamlet began to shake off slumber and set about the day's tasks. I don't know about the rest of my newfound companions, but the pastoral scene unfolding before us was comforting to me after the Hobgoblin Raiders. Nice as it was, the inn, and its promise of a bed and a meal, was much more inviting. Dagmark, the dwarf, pushed open the door and we piled inside to find a young boy cleaning up after a night's revelry. Ob, as the boy was known, was clearly not used to quoting room rates and fumbled over the prices for the commons. The bard, as I have taken to calling him Bagpipes, was apparently unused to such accommodations, and he made an admirable attempt at negotiating the price of what Ob called the noble suite. We would come to find out later that haggling is the extent of Bagpipes' boldness. The longer the bard haggled, the more tired we became, and eventually I grew frustrated enough with the exercise to toss the boy a few pieces of silver for common room beds for myself and Dagmark and Violet, our diminutive footpad. For Sargolg, the wild barbarian, even the common room was too posh, and he went off to find a spot in the stables to get his rest. Ob eventually fetched the innkeeper to continue the negotiations with Bagpipes and escorted the rest of us to the common room. He was still yammering when sleep overtook me. I woke to find Dagmark gone on some errand or another. Priests and their gods, their ways are mostly foreign to me. I decided to continue my own morning ritual by studying my spellbook before heading downstairs to break my fast. Our band, such as it was reunited at a long table in the inn. The patrons gave us many glances as we ordered our meal. As I took note of how we were being regarded, it dawned on me that Bagpipes was the only human in our number. I hadn't thought about it to that point, and didn't think about it any more once the porridge arrived. Dag had discovered from the local blacksmith that an adventuring band known as the Iron Ravens had gone missing while searching for a witch to the southeast, a place called Echo Cave. We were unemployed, and what meager funds we were able to acquire on the road to Hamlet would not last us for long between the trading post's markups and Bagpipes' shenanigans. We decided that locating the Iron Raven's party would fetch us some decent loot, and investigating the tales of the witch would garner some much-needed social currency. Bagpipes had caught the attention of a tough-looking fellow at a nearby table, and after another negotiation that I was quite certain he would fail, the man joined us at our table. His name was Zert, and he was a fighter. I don't think he was particularly enthused at being part of our band, but the want of money always leads to poor decisions. At least that's been my experience so far. Preparations for the journey began in earnest. We gathered our gear and headed to the stables to collect the donkeys. We were not prepared for the stench from Osgard's saddlebags. I don't think anyone could have been. It was by the gods' grace that we were not instantly chased from Hamlet and his collection of hobgoblin bones. Freak. With great and vehement urging, Osgard reluctantly discarded those saddlebags, and we were able to proceed to Echo Cave without some of the fear that every monster for miles would be able to smell us coming. If only he had stashed those bones in those damn Bagpipes, The journey itself took about half a day, and it was pleasant enough, though uneventful. Or more accurately, pleasant enough because it was uneventful. Once we arrived at the location, we took up positions in the undergrowth to observe our surroundings. We saw a pair of goats grazing on an odd patch of purple grass near a weather-beaten statue. There was a crack in the ground that marked the cave entrance. We decided that Violet should sneak ahead and scout the area. I will admit that I'm not all that familiar with halfling custom, so perhaps the culture views stealth in a very different manner than the elves. As she approached the cave, one of the goats noticed her and immediately attacked. Violet did the smart thing and ran, clambering up the statue to relative safety. Sargulg charged into the fray to restrain the goat, but stumbled and fell. I tried to take a shot, but given the absolute absurdity of the situation, I was laughing too hard to aim properly. Zert strode into the clearing and obliterated one goat while Violet got the other from the high ground. We emerged from the brush, and I immediately went to take a look at the statue, a figure holding what appeared to be a broken needle. The worn inscription on the bottom of the statue read, "A steady hand can thread any needle." I called Dagmark over to have a look with his greater knowledge of stonecraft. He was able to tell that the needle was not broken, but simply that part of it had been obscured through some kind of magic. Osgard produced a piece of thread from somewhere, and Violet managed to pass it through the invisible eye with ease. She appeared to jolt for a moment, but otherwise seemed okay. The crack was relatively sheer. I lit a torch and held it over the side while the others climbed down. Once we reached the bottom, we discovered a small passage that was uncomfortable, but easy enough to traverse. The passage opened into a larger room. A honey-like substance seemed to ooze from the wall. My companions ignored it, but my curiosity got the better of me and I tasted it. I felt as if I was on fire, especially my left eye. When the pain subsided, I discovered that I could see a visual manifestation of my companions' feelings. Their reactions furthered my curiosity, and I borrowed Osgard's mirror. The honey had caused my eye to take on a demonic, frightening appearance, and I began to search for a piece of fabric to cover it and assuage some of the discomfort the group seemed to have. Violet helped and tore off a piece of her own tunic for me to use as a bandage. The room itself must have been what gave the name Echo Cave, as this room, the echo was so tremendous that it made even the slightest sound into a thunderous roar. Though there was an obvious exit from the room, we decided to give it a pretty thorough going over. We searched for quite a while to no avail. Dagmark located the corpse of a dead adventurer with a cowbell on his chest. Bagpipes decided that he, being the bard, needed that bell. Needed it. But our cleric refused to give it to him. In retaliation, the bard unleashed a blistering solo on his trademark instrument that brought the house down. Quite literally. The drone alone caused the ceiling of the cave to collapse. When the dust cleared, most of us were injured, but Violet and Osgard were dead. We claimed the bodies and returned to the surface to make our way back to town, with the newfound knowledge that we were our own biggest threat.